Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 82 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 7th of December. Christmas is indeed here, and joining me as always is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney Pod people.
How are you?
Rather spiffing.
Rather spiffing. Oh, I love it. We've gone very British gentlemen this evening.
We try our best.
And we don't have Craig this evening. Craig's far too busy. He's got too much to do. So we have no Craig, which is sad.
He's letting us have a go on our own.
Yeah, in his words, this is our test run for when he leaves.
We're confused and lonely.
Yes. Yes, we're always confused and
aren't we,
dogs? Fairly lonely.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just... Well, so it should be a fairly light-hearted show. There shouldn't be much moaning going on this evening. Because there's no Dunks, which is always good. And no doubt he's listening to this, and I'm guessing at this very point, probably typing something into Skype to say, stop being mean, just because I'm not on the show doesn't mean I can't hear you.
Except it won't be spelt like that, and there'll be some expletives in between.
Yes, there's probably going to be something quite rude. We have to say congratulations to him, because this past week he was on the Passport and Mums podcast, talking about all of the stuff that we do here at Disney Brit, so, and talking about his 3 million trips to Walt Disney World and his cruise, because he's been on a cruise. I don't know if he's ever mentioned it to you. But yeah, apparently he's been on a cruise. So we should check that out.
Yeah, check it out. Really good.
Yeah. If you want to know anything, ask Dunks, because he can tell you everything. We've got our news and our rumours and stuff. But one quick thing that came in after we sort of all our new stuff out, and that is over in Belgium. We've had a...
Can I point out you only sent the new stuff out about 10 minutes ago, so...
That's not true. We've had something through from Belgium, from Bruges, the Bruges Snow and Ice Sculpture Festival, which is happening over there. And they have got Disneyland Paris as their theme. Now, I think this is the same group who did the sand sculpture earlier on in the year, and it seems they're using exactly the same theme again, using Disneyland Paris, this time from ice and snow, and it's on from the 25th of November to the 15th of January. Visit LJSS, well, I'll spell it out because it's in Belgian, LJSSCULPTUUR.BE. You can go over to disneybrit.com, you better find a video and all the information about that as well. So what have we got going on today? We've got some news and some rumours for you. We put a tweet
15
out.
Minutes ago, to be precise, actually.
15 minutes ago, yes.
50 minutes
ago. We've got a... we sort of put a tweet out earlier on today to say, what do you want to hear on tonight's show? We had a few interesting ones come back. Somebody's asked if we can do a budget planning trip to Disneyland Paris, about the best way to go to Disneyland Paris, and basically it cost you as little as possible. So we'll do that one in the new year.
Head low.
It's gonna take a little
and
while.
Walk.
Yes, yeah, just walk all the way.
Don't buy euros.
But one other thing we got is, can we tell people our favourite, our top 10 Disney Christmas movies? And we looked at it for our top 10 and realised that there's not really 10 decent Disney Christmas movies. So we're going to do our top 5 Disney Christmas movies. And also, we're going to let you know how you can get involved in the show with Disney Brit Idol. All will become clear a little bit later. So without any further ado... let's get on with this week's Disney Brit news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Just is starting us off. You all may have heard of Mouse Surplus, but it sounds like this isn't the only Disney merchandise / theme park stuff on the block, is it, Juz?
Yeah, apparently it is.
Oh, it is. Okay, change.
It is.
Right,
I'll go to the next.
Yeah. Oh. Right, okay.
Must have changed news in the last 50 minutes. In true keeping of things like the eBay store that's opening up in London for a week, and if anyone watched the 40-year-old Virgin, they know that that shop, which they basically said, no, you can't buy anything here, it's got to go eBay. Well, it's sort of like an eBay-warehouse been opened up down in Winter Gardens, which isn't that far. I mean, you're talking about 15 minutes. I think it's about 25 minutes away.
Yeah,
15 minutes, you've got a helicopter like Nick sometimes has. They're opening this up, what's called Theme Park Connection. And they initially, we looked at it and said, oh, went on the eBay site, and there's quite a lot of nice things there. And a few things I said are quite fancy was like the comforters and stuff like that. And then when we sent Nick down there, Nick and Michelle went down there on the grand opening day on Saturday. And my goodness, have they got tons and tons of Disney memorabilia. I think this actually makes Mouse Surplus look like a little baby.
It does.
So what they're doing is they sell it in the shop, but they also sell it on eBay. So you know, and they do sort of shipping, international shipping, etc., which is really cool. You really do seriously have to check out some of these pictures that Nick took for us, and they're of course on Disney Brit site, including things like the Haunted Mansion gear that they actually wear.
I loved that.
There's a couple of signs that were really cool that Nick said he wanted from Splash Mountain.
Yep.
These are $1,000 a piece, so some things out of our range. But other things, you're talking $40, $50. It is awesome. Well worth the trip if you're going out there, or check out their eBay site. Just do a search for Theme Park Connection. I think there was even, Imagination Institute sign as well, yeah.
Because we looked at this, didn't we, on Iron Orlando last week, and when we looked at their actual eBay site, we noticed that most of the stuff wasn't particularly large. There was pins and things like that, but there was nothing that really stood out. And we were thinking, you know, was this going to be a bit of a damp squid? Was there going to be anything there? And then Nick's been down, and some of the stuff he has found is truly tremendous. There's sort of all sorts of old badges and pins and buttons from years and years ago. There is the Haunted Mansion male and female butler costumes there, which I saw. I think Nick wants the Imagination sign for his house. But it did look amazing. It looks like the sort of thing I think I'd probably have to drag my wife out to next time. And son, I'll drag him with me this time.
Yeah, their Pirates of the Caribbean weight sign, which I thought would absolutely awesome.
Yeah, they had a load of Pirates of the Caribbean stuff there, which was fantastic. But that looks, it does look amazing. And was it Winter Garden, did you say it was in?
It's just Winter Gardens. I mean, all I can say is I wish them the very best of luck. It's always been selling it over eBay for years.
Yeah.
And he's actually taken that big step to do it, and I hope, you know, he gets the support to do it. But what awesome shop. You're guaranteed that everyone's going to want it.
Yeah, you are. And there's that old car park signs and all sorts. There's some really, really amazing stuff. The website, a web address was it themeparkconnection.com?
Mm-hmm.
So themeparkconnection.com, go over there, you can find out when it's open, you can see the eBay auctions and all that sort of stuff as well. So that's cool, so good luck to him. Right, let's head into the parks and let's head over to do Hollywood Studios, because Disney this week have announced the 2012 Star Wars weekends dates. They're going to be happening in Hollywood Studios, as always, from May the 18th to the 20th, the 25th to the 27th, June the 1st to the 3rd, and June the 8th to the 10th. Disney have not announced any other details as of yet as to what exactly is going to be part of it, but I would reckon that you're going to get your normal cavalcade, you're certainly going to get your autograph signings, you're going to get a big queue for Star Tours, the adventure continues, and is it the Hoopla, the Holiday Hoopla, no, Hyperspace Hoopla, that's the one that they have over there as well, which usually was on the stage where the sort of training, Jedi Training Academy is, and this year, this past year, it was on the main stage in front of the Sorcerer Mickey hat, so it was much, much bigger. It's always quite entertaining to watch. It's always just a bit silly and a bit of fun. You only get Darth Vader doing some sort of disco dancing or something strange like that, but they're your dates. Just again, they are May 18th to 20th, May 25th to 27th, 1st to the 3rd of June, and June the 8th to the 10th. Someone on Twitter this week did reply to us and said that maybe this is the only way they're going to get their husband out to Disney. So there we go. It does appeal to everybody. Right, moving on. And there's been some testing going on in the Magic Kingdom, I believe.
Yep. I'm not sure about this, to be honest with you. It's the Sorcerers of Magic Kingdom. If I was going into Dunk's Move. Basically, the cast members have been testing this off. This is a bit like the interactive game that we did Kim Possible in Epcot, that sort of thing, where, you know, you can actually interact with sort of screens and things like that. And if you go to Disney Brit, there's actually got a bit of It's not the best video in the world, but it gives you some idea of what's happening there. And I looked at it, and my only concern with these interactive games are you going to get a lot of people trying to crowd around this one area? Because if you look at them,
yes,
they're sort of stood there, and is it going to just constantly repeat itself? Nice concept, but I think, you know, you can do it more in Epcot because it's a lot bigger place and spread out. This, I'm not sure it's going to cause congestion or just be manic.
Well, looking at the video, it seemed there were several people who didn't seem to care what they were doing in front of the screen because they just kept walking in front. There's two or three people that just sort of walked through as they were passing through the park. So we're interested to see whether or not, you know, they've put these maybe in the wrong place and people are going to walk through and people are going to get annoyed. Yes, true. Is there going to be congestion? Because, you know, there's nothing worse than, like, queuing to have a go at the particular sort of experience and watch the whole experience as somebody else does it first. So I would hope there'll be one of two things. Either there'll be enough of those sort of kiosks around the park, so that's not going to happen. They may limit the numbers they can have at a certain time, or there'll be different experiences that people will try and they won't necessarily go in the same place. It's got some way of knowing who's where, when. But you're not sort of a fan of this, are you?
No, I like the idea. I think Epcot fitted perfectly. I think it's a good idea. I think we're utilising the technology there. I mean, you might want to do something more, perhaps in queues or something like that. I don't know. To sort of force people into rides where you probably your foot falls down, and then you could alternate. So if you get a ride that's quiet one day, you could say actually the things in that ride to balance things out. I just think Magic Kingdom's beautiful because it is tight. And sometimes it's a pain because it's tight, it's compact, it's nice. Whereas Epcot has that expanse. I think you still have the same problem at Hollywood Studios. Yeah. You could do it at Animal Kingdom because once again you've got that expanse. But Animal Kingdom is hot and bothering at the best of times.
You're right.
And I think this won't just make more congestion.
It's kind of like, I can see why they've done it. They've put it in there because it's off the back of the success of Kingdom Keepers and the idea of fighting the villains in the Magic Kingdom, and I'm guessing that's where this idea's come from. I suppose the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see whether or not this pulls off or whether it...
What kind of pudding?
Do you know what? I'm going to go for the chocolate souffle from Paolo's. I've got a bit of a thing for that now.
Okay.
Ever since having it...
The proof is in that pudding.
The proof is in that pudding, and if it's anywhere near as good as it is on the dream, then it'll be awesome. So there we go. But we could have another pudding, something that's terrible if it doesn't work. So in reserve. Talking about places that don't work, Disney Quest. Look at that for a segue. Disney Quest, which is down in Downtown Disney, has been suffering over the past few years, and Disney do try and bring it up, bring it back to life for New Year's Eve. And once again this year, as they have last year, they're going to be celebrating New Year with a special event that's going to be happening in there. The event was so popular last year that they're bringing it back for another go, and it's going to be from 8 p.m. until 1 a.m. where kids are entertained with DJs and a dance party. There's going to be unlimited access to all of the games and the Disney Quest attractions, including Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, the Virtual Jungle Cruise and Cyberspace Mountain. And if you can stay awake until the clock strike midnight, there's going to be a massive confetti drop. There's going to be a festive party favours as well. Plus, party goers will get coupons for pizzas, hot dogs, chicken Caesar wraps and burgers, plus chips and soda. And if you purchase a ticket ahead of time, you're going to save somewhere between $10 to $45 for an advance purchase. So $10, sorry, for a $45 advance purchase. Or on the day, it's going to be $55. That's including tax. So if you don't want to go to the Magic Kingdom or Epcot for New Year, you don't want to be crammed in with all those people, then you can head yourself down to Disney Quest. You can call 407-934-7639 to book your tickets for this particular event. Is Disney Quest the sort of place that you want to go to for New Year?
Yeah. No.
I kind of go every year. I will go to Disney Quest.
Seriously?
Yeah, because it's included in our park ticket usually, so it doesn't cost any
extra. You have to pay extra to get that.
No, well, what, with your park hopper? If I'm doing my ultimate ticket, then no, because it's included in my ultimate ticket with one of my visits. But I always kind of go hoping next time it's going to be so much better, and I always come out a bit disappointed. And it is great if you're a proper games person and it's not too busy. But I'm kind of surprised it's still there. I'm kind of surprised it survived. I'm not saying it's terrible. It's okay. But I just want them to do something with it now.
Well, what they should do is go and talk to Virgin and go, look, you're bringing X number of people in here to do an early morning check-in.
Yeah.
it's right next door. How about you come into bed with us and we could do something fantastic where you perhaps offer your people, you know, the tickets to get in there for free or half price. So while they're waiting to the airplane for 3 hours, they can go and have a fun time in there. They'll probably eat in there before they get in the car and drive off to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. But whether that will happen or not, I don't know. It's the whole Virgin check-in thing seems to have gone very, very quiet, do you not think? Nobody sort of ever mentions it anymore.
Oh.
So I don't know whether it's...
But should people mention it?
Is it still there?
Oh. It's me showing my age now, isn't it?
Do you know what? I'm not sure it's still there. I'm going to check. Is Virgin check-in still there? Our check-in facility at Downtown Disney Orlando allows you to check your bags... Apparently, it looks like it is still there.
See? But I can't see how you say it's gone quiet. It's not as though everyone talks in just normal conversation and goes, oh, yes, oh, I'm Virgin downtown.
Yeah, okay, true. But I've never been Virgin. That's
the problem. I do, and I go there, and it's great.
I've never flown Virgin because they've always been so ridiculously overpriced compared to everybody else.
So I like paying ridiculously overpriced to be crammed inside a cabin with really small leg space.
So I don't really know much about the Virgin check-in because I've never done it, because I've never had to.
Brilliant. It was excellent.
Or was it? It was well worth it, was it?
Oh, always. I've done it all the time. I've gone across with Virgin. If I go with Virgin, I always do that because it just saves the hassle. You back to that, you finish. The downside is everything you get taken... Yeah, I left all my tickets in the car because, of course, all your bags go there and I put tickets underneath to go and... And I left the tickets in the rental car. Did we have a panic at MCO?
I can imagine. When you get there, you've got
my
no
name
tickets.
Was.
I could just
I'd have
that.
To stay there forever.
That'd be hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd be living hell.
Just have to live there forever. You could just go and be Craig's living pool cleaner.
He treats his pool cleaners mean.
He is. Keeps him mean.
And it'll scare me when he calls me Pedro and says, Pedro, come in, have some lemonade. Let me do those shoulders of yours.
That just sounds wrong. Just sounds very wrong. Right, that's all of our Disney World news. So we're going to jump on a plane, fly over to Disneyland Paris, where it's cold, and I think it might be snowing as we speak. And we have got some good news for you. We always moan about how expensive Disneyland Paris is. Well, good news, Brits. It looks like it might be getting a bit cheaper.
Is it?
That's your cue.
Oh, hang on. I haven't got that bit of news.
Brilliant. Once again, so professional, as always. That's us.
I thought it was Dunks' news.
No, Dunks isn't here, is he?
Oh, you've got a problem here, Sunshine.
Why? What have we done?
Once upon a time, oh, hang on, you might be okay. It said unable to open past Disney Brits crashed.
Yes, no, it's fine.
Just bear with me.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play the same piece of music again, have I?
Okay.
Right, there we
you
go.
Might not. You're going to be shocked at this. Disneyland Paris gets cheaper for Brits.
Yeah, you will be shocked.
Okay, on to the next news item. Since Disneyland Paris introduced its biannual ticket hike a few years ago, we've been used to sort of tickets going up, etc., in April, October. According to figures from Disneyland Paris, every adult ticket, See, I've been researching this. Do you know how much they are, tickets?
Yes, they've changed.
Okay, a one day, one park. Do you not think with Disney they've got too many different tickets?
Sometimes, yeah.
Does it not just do your head in? Okay, one day, one park is £51.
Yeah.
That's down £1 now to £50.
Yeah.
Or £45 down to £45.
That's not changed for kids.
It's not changed. Kids. One day, two parks has gone from £61 to £60 for adults. Woohoo, pound. And for kids, £55 to £54.
Yeah.
2 day, two park. West Bromwich Albion, one. £108 to £104. £4. You're getting better savings.
Yeah.
Kids, it's £3. 3 day, parks, you're going to save £5. It's £129. Kids have gone up by £2.
Gone up by £2, I know. There doesn't seem to be any logic in this at all.
So they work on the principle that you might have more kids than adults.
I'm guessing so.
It's actually not moving at all.
No.
4 days, two parks, adults down by £7, kids up by £3. But probably the biggest bargain for all you family, if you're out there for 5 days and you want the two-park hopper ticket, yes, you're going to save a massive £8 per adult. Kids, you're going to pay an extra £11 per kid. Hang on, this headline's slightly misleading.
It is a little bit misleading. It starts off all right, and then it gets a little bit worse. Well, no, you just get cheaper as long as you're not buying a five-day, two-park ticket. Because all of the others, you're still saving a few pounds here and there.
If you're going with your family of octuplets...
Yeah.
You're paying a lot more more octuplets.
Yeah, you are if you're...
is it octuplets or octets? Octuplets.
But I'm kind of guessing this is sort of the idea, that if you're going as adults, then you're absolutely fine. You're going to save money no matter what ticket you buy. But if you're taking kids with you, let's say there's one adult and two kids, it's actually in places going to work out more expensive for some...
Can I say this actually penalises single parents?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Is there not some kind of European law
The only thing that penalises single parents is the five-day two-park, because the rest of
them... No, all of them do.
In what way?
Well, actually, no. All of them
depends
above...
how many kids you've got.
All of them above 3 days, two parks. Okay, you make a saving, but you're still a single parent, you still have to pay more for the kids, so your savings really getting offset.
Well, yeah, because if you were a single parent and you bought a three-day two-park for an adult, you save a fiver. But if you had two kids, you'd pay for an extra £4 for their tickets, so you only save a pound. Same with a four-day two-park, you'd save a pound. Whereas if you did the five-day two-park, you'd ended up paying out, £11? You'd be saving £8, so you'd be paying out £14, £15 extra. So the five-day two-park doesn't work. But do you know many people that go for 5 days?
Yes.
Buy a park ticket for 5 days?
Yes.
Do you really? I don't think I've ever bought a five-day two-park ticket. I don't have ever done five consecutive days.
I tell everyone to go and buy a five-day two-park ticket, and then they come back and go, "We only use it for 2 days." And I go, "Yeah, I did the same."
Did you really? Have you really done that?
No. Oh. That'd be cool.
But
I could spend 5 days there.
I could easily spend 5 days in the park, but that's me being...
We'll do three.
Yeah, you see, three, I think, for a sort of regular family, that would be fine. I'd quite happily spend 5 days there, and I know people who have, but they're your proper theme park geeks to have. But actually, if you're looking at a five-day, two-park ticket, you're actually going to work out cheaper to get an annual pass by the time you've finished. There's not going to be much difference, because you'll pay for your annual pass, you might pay a couple of pounds extra, but the savings you'll get for things like parking... for merchandise, for food and all that sort of stuff, will offset the cost of a five-day two-park. So by the time you get to that point, you're probably better considering that annual pass.
And I'd say that people aren't impressed by it, because the rating on the Disney Bit site for that article hasn't got very much good rated.
No, it seems to be 3 out of 5 at the minute.
Yeah. And so people have seen through the smoke screen.
They seem to have done. Which, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Yes. For some people, it's fantastic. For other people, it's not so great. But there we go. Right, some merchandise news for Disneyland Paris. And first off, it looks like, and it's not totally confirmed, but it's getting closer, that Disneyland Paris will have its own set of Vinylmation to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the resort next April. Now, we don't know anything really other than that, but Disney have released a holding page over at vinylmation.fr. This is Disneyland Paris's, certainly a French Vinylmation website. Now, if you were to head over to www.vinylmation.fr right now, you will find a black holding page, and on it has a half of a Vinylmation, plus it has sort of a faded 20th anniversary logo on there. And we assume, and again, we don't know for certain, this is rumour, this is a guess, that this is going to become the home of the website where you're going to be able to buy or at least see the 20th anniversary Vinylmation. Now, we're expecting there to be a set of 12 3-inch. We're also expecting a 9-inch, which we believe will be the castle. There's going to be a 9-inch Vinylmation exclusively as well. And if you've gone over, you'll see on Disney Brick, we took a screenshot of what that looked like originally. Now, since then, I don't know whether Disney are planning on doing this every day, on the left-hand side of that image, there's now a hand of Mickey Mouse in a Sorcerer Mickey, a sort of a Sorcerer Mickey sleeve, coming onto the screen. Now, we don't know whether this is Disney's attempt to add little bits each day until they make this website actually go live or not. We're not sure. But it's certainly good to see that there's now a Vinylmation.fr website, and hopefully it's going to bring some cool Disneyland Paris Vinylmation. Now, Nick asked us to think about specific Disneyland Paris Vinylmation that might be different to other places. And I'm struggling to sort of come up with 12. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
like, I can think of like Alice's Curious Labyrinth, maybe. That's a unique one to us. Phantom Manor, although they did include a phantom in, I want to say, Park 6, was it? So that's not necessarily going to be something that's unique because they've already used that. Big Thunder Mountain obviously is unique in its style, but it's not unique in it being an attraction. So I'm kind of struggling as to what they could come up with, because it's, I doubt very, very much it will be anything to do with Disney Studios, will it? Think about whether... I don't know whether they would. Oh, and the other thing is Park 6 also had the Space Mountain as well, didn't it? So it's kind of... I don't know. It's quite hard as to whether or not... I don't know what they're going to put in there and what these particular ones are going to be. It would be nice to see something cool and something different and something decent, but I'm going to hold off judgment until they come out. But certainly, if they're not too expensive, I think you'll find me buying a few when I head over there next. Do these interest you?
Yeah, do you think that Disney, the site is a bit cack?
At the minute, yeah. At the minute, it's very...
But even the graphic is just... It's dumped in the middle.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not a Disney-looking site.
Now, do you know what? I can't even remember on what park series the Phantom was.
74.
Park Series 74. Excellent. Yeah. I'm just having a quick scan through now, and I'm struggling to find whereabouts that came in. I don't think it's Park 7, because I'm thinking...
I'm trying to figure out what the images are, because it's S48. I'm seeing if there's different ones.
What? Which image are you on about?
For the website, just seeing if there's different ones hidden away.
Ah, I didn't think of that. Is there anything hidden there at all?
We hate Disney Brit.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's good. They've heard of us. They've heard of us because we're on their wonderful survey. And if you've not
I've done that.
Yet, please, you've done it. Yeah, I've done it as well.
Do I win anything?
Yes, you win a year's contract extension for Disney Brit.
Are they going to publish it anywhere? Can you ask, say, how many people like Disney Brit?
I don't know at all, but I've got a link for an email, so I will email them and find that out. I really don't know. But there we go, we've got completely off topic, and Jez is trying to find out if there's anything hidden in the website. I don't think
I'm getting bored. It really does not look like a Disney website, because Mickey's paw.
Yeah.
It's just there, it's not...
Well, I did think it was a bit of a random place to put that paw. It just sort of kind of appears.
Because the image stops. It doesn't take up the full screen. So you just got black and then a paw.
Yeah. And it just seems strange that it's sort of just there. But I wonder whether that's something they're going to add onto it.
It might be something that passes something super duper.
Yeah, I would hope. I don't know. Right, other merchandise. PhotoPass that we rumoured about doesn't seem to be quite what we expected, Jez.
This is exactly what I said it was.
Yes.
It's a French version. See, why have a product that works incredibly well in Walt Disney World, and then the French try and do their own thing? And it's just basically all it is you're now going to get the card, correct me if I'm wrong here, that you can have the photos taken and they scan it, but you still got to go to the locations before you leave the park to see the photograph to see if you want to buy it. So they've taken a product that works incredibly well, makes a lot of money for Disney because people go home and go, oh, those are the memories, let's download and we'll get a CD. And then they've completely messed it up by saying, actually, all we're going to do is let you scan the photographs and you're still going to have to go out before you leave the place.
That's very true.
Poor.
It is a shame. We were expecting the full-blown PhotoPass to come in and it didn't, and they've sort of just replaced the paper ticket with a plastic ticket. The good news, though, if we're going to take anything positive from this, they are now able to show you your photos in a different park to where they were taken.
That's nothing positive.
I can't
understand why you've got a technology there. There's nothing to develop because the technology has been done. You could probably even fit it into the American website so you can actually pick Paris, and they haven't utilised it. It just seems bizarre.
Well, it is positive in the sense that, from my point of view, we were in Disney Studios. We had Harry had a photo taken with Mickey. We left the park and went over to Disneyland Park, and we were at the back of, I think it was Discovery Land, and we suddenly went, we forgot to go and look at his photo, totally forgotten about it. So we went down to Main Street and we said, can we have a look at the photo here? And they said, nope, you have to go back over to Disney Studios, which we did, and we got the photo in the end. But now, at least, if you forget, you haven't got to go trudging back to where you had the photo taken or where the photo point is there. You can have them taken, or you can look at them in the locations in the other parks and the resorts and that. And
yes, I can have my photo taken in Florida, come home to the UK and look at pictures.
I know, you know, that's I agree with
and manipulate
you
them.
I do agree that they haven't quite gone as far with the photopass as they could. And
they don't need, it's not going far. It's utilising the technology that already exists.
Yes, I agree. And they've not done it. And it's a shame that they've not done it. And I sort of hope they would. But
where's Dunks when you need him?
Yeah, Growly Dunks. He'd be on this. He'd be listening to this now. It's
just shreds, he would.
He would. Well, it's a shame that they haven't gone the full way. But who knows? 20th anniversary, maybe they're going to bring that in.
They won't.
You don't think?
No, the French.
Okay, I was about to say, what makes you so sure, but I think you've just answered that question. Right, that's all of our news and rumours for this edition of the show.
Woohoo!
Hi there, pal. It's me, Mickey. I wanted to call and wish you a Merry Christmas.
We put out a tweet early on today on Twitter, obviously, to ask what sort of thing people might be interested in us talking about this evening. And I think it was dedicated to DRP, actually, sent a tweet back saying, I'd like to know your top 10 favourite Disney Christmas movies. And I thought, okay, that'd be different. It is Christmas after all. So let's give it a go. And I began to put my top 10 together and realised that really I could only put a top 5 together of films that I really thought were good. Now, I have got a couple missing. Ernest Saves Christmas, for example, never made it onto my list. That would have been probably number 7 or number 8. But I've got my top 5. Josh, you got your top 5?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we are going to go through our top 5 all the way down to 1, and we're going to see what we've got on our list. So, Judge, you're going to start us off. What have you got for 5?
Aliens versus Predator.
Aliens versus Predator, excellent Christmas movie.
Great Christmas film.
Yeah.
Gets the whole family in the mood.
It's a good one to watch just before Christmas dinner.
It is. Well, to be honest with you, we tend to watch The Ring just before Christmas dinner. Disney's great film there as well.
Yeah,
and Disney's The Grudge.
Yeah, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre is always a good one for the evening.
That's not Disney, that's just you being stupid now.
Oh, I thought Disney had done that one.
I don't know. I'm not seeing how. Hang on.
So that's your 5, is it?
Are we doing it? What, doing me doing my 5?
Yeah, we're doing your 5th one, yeah. No, just do your top 5, your first one, and then your 5th.
Not my first one,
no,
my 5th
one. That's the one.
Hang on. You do your first one first.
All right, so I'm going to do my 5th one then. It's the only one that I would say was a classic, as in it's done quite a few years ago. This one was is nearly 20 years old, and that is the special, I say animated short. It was about 25 minutes long, and that was the Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Give a penny for the poor, Governor. Penny for the poor.
Ah. My partner, Jacob Marley, dead 7 years today. He was a good'un. He robbed from the widows and swindled the poor. In his will, he left me enough money to pay for his tombstone. And I had him buried at sea.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, what are you doing with that piece of coal?
I was just trying to thaw out the ink.
That they did back in 1983, and it is available on all sorts of box sets and collections, Mickey's Christmas Favourites and all that sort of stuff. This one's a proper classic. It was where they sort of took all of the classic Disney characters and they gave them all individual roles and different roles within the film itself. You had sort of like Ebenezer Scrooge was Scrooge McDuck, of course. Mickey Mouse was Bob Cratchit. Goofy was Jacob Marley's ghost. You had Willie the Giant as the Ghost of the Christmas Present, Jiminy Cricket as Ghost of Christmas Past, and all those sort of characters as well. And it was like, it's a proper classic, old-fashioned, Disney-style sort of cartoon. Plus, Wayne Allwine was doing the voice at the time as well, which was great. And I just really quite like it. It's just something very Christmassy and very simple and stuff that reminds me of my childhood. What have you got? Your number five.
I'll go for Mickey's Once / Twice Upon a Christmas.
Oh, you can't have both?
I can.
Why?
Because otherwise it looks bad. It's like going, you know, oh, it's Rocky 1 I liked, and then you go, it's Rocky 2, and then it's Rocky 3, and then it's Rocky 4, and then it's Rocky 5.
Right, so you're putting them in as one rather than having them as two.
Yes, yeah, so I'm not doing sequels right, separately. Okay. That's just crazy talk.
One time a year, there's a marvelous night when enchantment and wonder spark and take flight. Each home fills with joy on this grand holiday, with hearts growing warm in a magical way. The rooms are all covered with garlands and wreaths. The mantle is ready with stockings beneath. Lights twinkle and glow and bells brightly chime. The moment's arrived. It's here. Christmas time.
Okay, so, and the reason for that?
I just think it's ultimately cool.
Okay.
Loads of short stories, Groundhoggy Day and all that lot. It's just nice. It's just little snippets from the Disney Five.
Yes, okay. So your Fab Five all in there. And then I always remember the Nativity one at the end of Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, which has it always reminds me of the donkey story right at the very end. Right, my number four, I'm going live action. And this was this is a proper Disney classic movie. The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Dad, you're
clever. Somebody's on the roof.
Maybe it's Santa.
Not now, Charlie.
This Christmas, Scott Calvin's getting into the spirit. The only way he can.
Hey, you!
By accident.
If something should happen to me, put on my suit. The reindeer will know what to do.
It is Santa. You killed him.
Did not.
Check out Santa's sleigh!
Oh. When you put on the suit, he fell subject to the Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus? What does that mean?
It means you put on the suit, you're the big guy. Ha!
Santa? How can your clothes are so baggy?
Do you want this doll or not?
You know, where the, when he accidentally... I can't, does he, but he doesn't bump off Santa, does he? But he ends up with Santa's sort of magical powers.
What kind of Disney film would that be that he kills Santa?
You know what I mean? He doesn't kill Santa, he just...
No, he is Santa.
Him a little bit.
No,
he is Santa, yeah. And he ends up growing the beard and obviously the stomach and lots of stuff and ends up being Santa and taking over and saving Christmas, etc., etc. It was one of those... I always remember it being one of those movies which was the first classic Christmas movie to come out for a long time that people really, really enjoyed. You know, we had, like, Santa Claus the movie back in the 80s and all that sort of stuff. And then there was sort of a 10 years of, like, just naff Christmas movies. And then Disney did The Santa Claus, and then they ruined it with The Santa Claus 2 and The Santa Claus 3. But the first one was always a classic. One of those ones that I'll sort of watch if we've got it on, if it's on telly in our house. So Santa Claus is my number four. What's your number four?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Classic movie.
I like it, but on the flip side, I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's a strange
like
one,
it,
isn't it?
But it's a strange, yeah. It's not going to get me in a Christmassy mood.
No, because it's kind of half Halloween but half Christmas.
Exactly. So it's not one of those films you hit there and you have that feel good, warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, and you sort of watch it, and if you watch it with younger children, you sort of think, oh, the Christmas bit's nice. Oh, I don't know whether they'll like that bit, though. But that Christmas bit's quite nice. It's, yeah, it's a funny old film like that.
So it's a classic, and I like it because of that. But it's not a warm, fuzzy film. So okay. That's the only reason it got four.
It's a warm, unfuzzy, Christmassy.
It's not even warm, it's quite cold.
It is quite chilly. My number three is Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas.
Goofy always means well, spreading holiday cheer, but embarrasses Max with his pratfalls each year. Oh, he tries to step up to the plate and be cool, but now Max has grown up, will Dad still play the fool?
I consider putting Once Upon a Christmas in, and I think it made it in my like number 9 slot, something like that. It was all right, but Twice Upon a Christmas I really liked. It was one of the first times Disney ever computer-generated Mickey and Donald and Goofy and all those guys. There's some really nice little stories in there. You've got Huey, Dewey and Louie, and they're parceling themselves up and sending themselves to Santa Claus to get Donald onto the good list and get them make sure they're on the good list and not the naughty list. You've got the great story with Goofy and Max in there. It's nice to see Max, because Max doesn't sort of come around very often, so it's nice to see him in there as well. You got a proper grumpy Donald story, which is quite cool as well. And you've got sort of the sort of sad story at the end with Mickey losing Pluto, and Pluto ended up being one of the reindeers, which is quite cool. But it's one of the ones we watch a lot in our house at Christmas time. Harry's got a real thing for this movie, so this is on quite regularly and often on repeat as well. Got some good songs in it. Is what I like about it. It's just over an hour, so it's not anything too strenuous to sit and watch on a Christmas afternoon or anything like that. So Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas, my number 3. So your number 3 is
Santa Claus the Movie.
Santa Claus the Movie,
warm fuzzy happy film.
Excellent, with Tim Allen and all of that.
Can't beat Tim Allen.
No, you can't beat Tim Allen. Pity. Number 2, I've got Nightmare Before Christmas at my number 2, because
you're cold and heartless.
Because I'm cold and heartless, and it is a cracking movie. Danny Elfman's score is fantastic, the songs are awesome. It's one of those films, and I kind of pride myself on the fact that I loved this movie before it became cult and popular. I remember going to see it at the cinema and having come out thinking how fantastic it was, and I remember having it on DVD when it first came out, and I think I wore my copy out and had to buy a new one. But it's looking old now and it's starting to look dated, and that's kind of why I've not put it at number 1. But it's still a great film, it's still well worth a watch. We watched it a couple of days ago, and I still enjoy it, I still love it. So it's at my number 2. What's your number 2?
Oh, right, number 2 already.
Yeah.
A Disney Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey.
Now, I'm glad you've put this one in. Why? Why is this your number 2?
Well, to be honest with you, Christmas Carol's one of my favourite stories ever. So no matter who produces a film about Christmas Carol, I'll always watch Christmas. I just love it. Probably the best is Scrooge, I'll be honest with you.
Scrooge is great.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it. I love Christmas Carol. Brilliantly done. Jim Carrey is absolutely awesome in the whole thing with different bits and pieces he does in it. Absolutely fantastic.
Now, I have to admit, I've still not seen it. I've still not managed to get around to actually watching it.
Do you have a knacking feeling it's on Sky as we speak?
Is it there? Is it really? I don't have.
I think it's this week's. There's a film on this. They've got the Christmas channel, haven't they, Sky?
Well, we've moved over to BT Vision now.
Right. So we haven't got our producer tough.
I do wonder whether or not it might be on a paper watch jobby. So I might have to search that out and give that a go, because I've still not seen it and I still really like to see it. So that'd be cool. I'm kind of glad that you put it in there, because I didn't, because I haven't seen it and I couldn't really comment on it. Which takes us down to our number 1. Now, I have a funny feeling we've both got the same number 1.
I think the same.
I think we have. This film, for me, is a movie that has, even though it was made years ago now, we're talking a good while ago.
Oh, how long are you talking?
Sorry?
How long ago are you talking?
Oh, well, we'll find out whether or not we are talking on the same hymn sheet, so to speak. This was made in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a film that it's a tradition in our house. Every Christmas Eve, we watch this movie. It's a film that no matter how many times I watch it, the only thing that dates in it is Michael Caine nobody else dates in this movie whatsoever.
He doesn't even date to me.
I suppose he doesn't really date that much. It is a film that just looks as fresh as it ever has. And it's my number one is Muppets Christmas Carol.
My number one is the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it has to be. It is. I reckon it's got to be the ultimate Christmas movie.
Have to watch it every year.
Yeah, it has to be the ultimate Christmas movie. I can't think of a Christmas movie that beats this. Can you think of one I just can't think of anything at all. Not even Disney
the story.
Here.
Love it all. Awesomely done, awesomely produced, never ages, as he quite rightly says. And Michael Caine's awesome in it as well, let's be honest. He's one of those very few who could have pulled off that, but no. You can see something different every time. Just, I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And as both of us have Muppets Christmas Carol as our number one, I had a funny feeling this was going to happen, then what we're going to do is we're going to play one of the songs from Muppets Christmas Carol, which is the song When Love Is Gone, which comes, it's sort of like the sadder one that comes towards the end. But
can I be honest with you? I could do without music.
Sorry?
I could have done without the music and singing.
Why? What, the
I can't stand musicals. The music just gets in the way of the story. Just give me the story. Forget all the singing.
Would you like a different song then?
No, I'm not knocking. You can play the song anyway. What I'm saying is the whole film, get rid of all of it. The music.
Oh.
I love the story. It doesn't need to have the music added to it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got the whole album, so we could have any song you would like if it would make you happier. Would you like to do a different one? No?
Just saying.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we won't have When Love Is Gone then. I'm going to choose another one, and it's going to be a surprise, and I'm going to play it now.
There's magic in the air. This evening, magic in the air. The world is at her best, you know, when people love and care. The promise of excitement is one the night will keep. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. Says hello, and everyone is family. We're having so much fun. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. 'Tis a season to be jolly and joyous. With a burst of pleasure, we feel it arrive. It's a season when the saints can employ us. Spread the news about peace and to keep love alive. Today we're shining like the sun, and everyone can feel it. The feeling's running deep. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas Day.
Well, you just heard that piece of music, and that's a blast from the past, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Disney, but it certainly has something to do with what we're about to talk about now. And this is a new competition, contest, I don't know what you want to call it. And I want to sort of thank Craig Lucas for the name, because he came up
with it. So you can't let go. He's always there.
I can't let go. And this is Disney Brit Idol, because cue sad music. At the end of this year. This is quite sad. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to do this. Craig Duncan's going to be leaving the Disney Brit podcast. He's finally decided that it's time for him to give up. And he's going to...
Hang up his Mickey ears.
He's going to hang up his Mickey ears, put away his Mickey gloves. And at the end of the year, he is leaving us. Yes, he's not going forever.
To be fair, he never liked us.
He never did like us. And he only did it because we... I've held him hostage in my downstairs basement, and he's managed to escape. But he's taken part, you know, for 2 years, basically, Craig's been with us, and he's decided it's time for him to move on to pastures new, so to speak. And he does have a new soul show that's going to be on Orlando Sky Radio. And don't panic, it doesn't mean Craig's going to be gone forever, because no doubt we will manage to coerce him to come back on to the show at some point and take part. But it does
the
mean...
The moment, he'd just give you abuse if you said that.
Yes, but he's not here, so I can say it. It's fine. But this year, we decided that, you know, the three of us works really well. We really like having three people on the show. So we were going to do... Well, you didn't. So we are going to do Disney Brit Idol. And this is the opportunity for you to take Craig Duncan's place on the Disney Brit podcast.
No one will take his place in my heart.
No. This is just metaphorically taking his place. It's fine.
Unless it's a hottie. And then Dunks is out. Dunks who?
Hey! Who was he?
What? Yeah, exactly.
But we wanted to get some people involved, and we wanted somebody else to come and join the team and take part in what goes on. And we want you guys to be one of somebody who's listened to the show now who is going to come and be part of. Anyone, just somebody, so I don't have to spend so long on my own with just... who's going to come and be part of the team. And what we want you to do is to email us podcast@disneybrit.com and let us know that you are interested in becoming part of the team. So before we do that, I think we need to probably let you know what you're going to be in for if you do decide to become part of the Disney Brit team. You will obviously be part of recording the podcast. We record that every other week, as you obviously know, because it's a bi-weekly show. It's usually on a Monday evening starting around 8 p.m. UK time. And usually takes us a couple of hours in the evening. So you're going to need to be free, usually on a Monday evening of the week the show is due out. Also, you're going to be responsible for helping to put up news items on DisneyBrit.com. So you'll be responsible for blog posts and any news that comes out that may not already be on the website. We'll be asking you to do that too. So they're sort of two main jobs. You may also be dragged into, no doubt, to be dragged into helping out with things like Mouse Meets as well, and doing all the bits and pieces behind the scenes for that. So it's all sort of part of those different bits that would make up a team member for the Disney Brit podcast. I think that's everything, isn't it, I can think of. Is that right? Can you think of anything else?
To be fair, you cut out on me most of that, so I didn't hear it.
I cut out on you most of that. Okay, well, that's fine. Hopefully everybody else will have heard it. But as saying, you know, we're looking for somebody who's got to be available Monday evenings from about 8 p.m. onwards to record the show. Someone who's happy to be sort of putting up blog posts and news on DisneyBrit.com.
You don't
and
let also, me put blog posts up.
I have told you you're more than happy to put blog posts
up. No, you haven't.
Up.
You said I'm not allowed to touch it.
Well, you run it. So
your exact words were, "Don't you dare touch that, or there'll be trouble." That's, and then you go to Nick. Nick, give me the information and not yours. This is all right. Come on, what else have they got to do that I'm not allowed to do?
No, that's it. And the other thing is to help organise things such as Mouse Meets.
You can have Adam with that. Well. Boy, does he get grumpy.
So if you are interested in becoming part of the team, then do email us podcast@disneybrit.com, and the Disney Brit Idol will begin next year. January, we'll start the contest to find a new member of the team, and then you'll be inducted into the Disney Brit Hall of Fame, so to speak. But we will let you know more details about what exactly you will need to do to become part of the Disney Brit podcast in the future. Like I say, that's everything, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll accept all applications written in crayon and must have your warden's permission for you to take part in it.
Yeah, what does somebody from as part of the Disney Brit team need? What qualities do you reckon, Juz?
I find being not very sober helps.
Mentally unstable is pretty good. Anything else we got?
To be able to put up with Adams.
Yeah, you have to put up with me, that's true. I think that's everything. So there you go, mentally unstable. Need to be able to do the show drunk apparently, according to Juz. And you need to be able to put up with me. So that's fine. There we go. Right. Well, that is everything. It's a short show this week, I know, but that is...
It's because it's Christmas.
It's because it's Christmas. It is.
Go and do some shopping.
Go and do some Christmas shopping and some nice things and some lovely things. And hopefully, on the next show, just to give you a bit of a preview, we will hopefully have a phone call I made to
from the
red telephone box at the UK Pavilion.
We did stop doing them,
but I helped out the WDW News Today guys with a 24-hour live show. They did a Toys for Tots live show, which I helped them out with again this year. I did about 5 hours of it. And one of the things we said is if we raise so much money, then I would ring the UK telephone box in Epcot and we would play a prank, basically, which turned out
that's not very nice. Well. People spend a lot of money to go to Walt Disney World and enjoy it, and then you play a prank and ruin the whole holiday for everyone that they spent all that money on that once-a-lifetime holiday.
Funny, so you do need to listen to that. So hopefully we'll have that on the next show. Fingers crossed. I'm just waiting for the audio to come through. But that really is it. That's the end of the show. Thank you once again for joining us. Thank you to Juz for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Bye, dogs. Oh, not there.
No, he's not here. He's gone. He's gone on.
Just let him go.
Just leave him. Thanks to our sponsors, toyingplans.com. You can go to www.toyingplans.com to find out more about everything that they do. You can, of course, email us questions, comments, suggestions, and whether you want to be considered as part of Disney Brit Idol podcast at disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail number if you're in the US, which is...
We've got several at the moment. I'll give you the normal one,
yeah,
which is 407-545-7980.
Keep checking out disneybrit.com. You can find out all the latest news and rumours for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. And also check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Craig, and Juz. We don't do Craig much.
Don't bother Craig friending him
anymore. Mouse Mag is going to be out at the end of December, beginning of January. If you have an article you'd wish to write for Mouse Mag, we are now about to take submissions for that. You can email us again, podcast@disneybrit.com, with all of your submissions. Thank you for leaving us reviews on iTunes. Do continue to do that because it does help people know whether or not they think they're going to like the show. You can also find our YouTube channel, which is Disney Brit Podcast. Go over there, search for that, check that out. You can also go to our sister podcast's website, ironorlando.com, and also do listen into Orlando Sky Radio. Is it orlandoskyradio.com?
It certainly is.
And you can listen to some great music in there. And every now and again, there might be some audio surprises you weren't expecting. Do check that out as well. And Discord. Hey, what?
I apologise for those audio surprises.
And Discord.net as well. Go over there and make sure you keep that going. And that's it. That's everything.
Happy Christmas.
And that leaves me with nothing else to say other than, yes, happy Christmas. But you do have one more show to put up with us on. And that is going to be Wednesday, the 21st of December. Just 4 days.
Really Monday if you want to take part in the Idol thing.
Yes. Yeah, but that's not starting yet, so that's fine. It's December 21st. Do come and check that out. So, until then, we'll see you.
Life is full of sweet surprises. Every day's a gift. The sun comes up and I can feel it lift. My spirit fills me up with laughter, fills me up with song. I look into the eyes of love and know that I belong. Bless us all who gather here, the loving family I hold dear.
No place on earth compares with home, and every path will bring me back from where I roam.
Bless us all that as we live, we always comfort and forgive.
We have so much that we can share
with those in need we see around us everywhere. Let us always love each other. Lead us to the light. Let us hear the voice of reason singing in the night.
Let us run from anger
and catch us when we fall.
Teach us in our dreams, and please, yes, please, bless us one and all. Bless us all with playful years, with noisy games and joyful tears.
We reach for you, and we stand tall. And in our prayers and dreams, we ask you bless us all.
We reach for you, and we stand tall.